Puertwach. Rushwach. Puertwach.
Rushach. Puertwach. Dig deep. Find them. This is the creed of the Duergar, the deep dwarves. It is what drove my people since the earliest days. The first of our kind were cursed with prophetic dreams, images of impossible shifting shapes moving in the deepest places of the world. They were miners, a small clan of dwarves whose name have been forgotten to time. The dreams became more persistent. The time took over their waking thoughts. Then, all our progenitors could hear was a thrumming voice repeating the words, "Find me." Over the ages, our people had a soul focus. Dig deep, and deeper still. To most, it was a divine message, a sacred calling. To others, it was a means to power and control. To a few of us, it was essentially a migraine. The voice bore into us like a drill, cranking deep into the meat of our brains, and the closer my people came to finding them, the worse it got. So we dug away, away from the Black Forge, away from the incessant screaming pain. The further we got from the Black Forge, the less we felt the voice's influence, until one day it was gone. We were overjoyed, but now we were directionless. What was a Duergar's purpose but to dig deep? In our journeys, we encountered many of the Drow's great tunnel complexes. We found the world of the Underdark, full of life and mystery. So we decided to become one with this misunderstood place. We, although unintentionally, became a circle of druids. In time, we reached out to the Drow, and after much negotiation, we were given permission to travel in their lands to help keep the denizens of the Underdark safe. In our travels, we heard of the war between our people and the dwarves, and knew the time was close at hand. Then, nothing. The armies of the Duergar defeated. They drew back to the Black Forge and never left again. Then word came of new tunnels, crisscrossing the Drow network, and of strange illness that followed. Upon examining the corpse of one of our brethren found in these tunnels, we knew in an instant what it meant. The god without shape had been found. The time is running out for our world, below and above.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are the Architects of Entropy, and this is episode 34, I think. Yeah, I think that's right. The last one I remember was 33. I'm starting to lose track.
Yeah, fair.
Rick is here. Just Rick this week. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing all right. Had a nice Thanksgiving, so we can put a timestamp on this podcast. When you do eventually get to listen to it, you'll know when it was recorded. But I'm alive, heading into the holidays, and I'm still alive, so that's good.
That's good. Yeah. If you're listening to it, you've survived the holidays. I'm pretty sure this is going to be like January, February or something. I don't even want to think about that, but that's why we record these in advance. So we don't. But yeah, so it is. Yeah, it's Black Friday today, which is something that I just despise. But, you know, who doesn't really on some level?
Yeah. Well, everybody else is out shopping and we're recording a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, so in the Black Friday spirit, Rick has been away from the action for a while in real time. So I'm just going to do a quick recap for his and the audience's benefit of the last things that happened to Razor were. You guys had entered the strange extra-dimensional space known as the Spiral. It's not exactly clear from the way I've been describing it. You're not in a... you're not in a physical place. You're in a metaphysical place that is reached through this bizarre seal that the drow had in their caves. Why it was there, who knows? But it didn't seem to alarm the Knight of Brambles that it was there. So whatever history she has with the drow seems to be a little bit contentious. But either way, you are in that place now, which is the home of the Slua, a strange fey being of confusion that acts as a security system to Wenya's Hollow, aside from the more constructed security system called the Gloaming, which we haven't mentioned in a while, but it has been down. So basically all the defenses that this place had are pretty much down. So the big issue is getting everything set back right to this place again. And luckily you guys were here to start a quest to try to make that happen. So the last thing that happened to Razor was you had entered the spiral with the knight and your companions and were assaulted pretty quickly by a pack of drow cultists that apparently worship the spiral or worship the Slua and create illusions and try to mess with you. You guys were able to take care of them pretty handily. And to zap to Razor's present, that's the last thing you remember.
Well, here's the quick question. You say it's a metaphysical thing where we're not really there, but we feel like we're there.
It's a, I mean, metaphysical. It's an extra planar space, kind of.
Okay.
It's a physical place.
Okay.
It's not in the, like,
we're not in a VR so much as in an extra planar place.
Yeah, no, this is not. Yeah, this isn't a simulation of some kind.
Gotcha.
This,
all right.
It does seem to have some kind of physical qualities, but it also, well, you haven't really encountered the weird shit yet.
That's fine. I'm just trying to ground myself. That's all.
Yes. So the other thing that happened is you guys leveled at the end of that fight. So is there anything interesting about fifth level for Cleric?
I believe it's a couple third level spells. Crusader's Mantle and Spirit Guardian, and we'll see how those play out.
Oh, when Spirit I use Guardian them. Is a very, very cool spell. And I think proficiency goes up and your cantrip damage goes up, which is big for clerics. So you took a breather after that last encounter and you found that you would all have accessed the next step on your path. So you feel closer to the powers of the Forge and have access to some new abilities that you didn't have access to previously. And that's the last thing you remember, because right now all is darkness. And then your eyes open.
Is it still dark?
It is, but it is the kind of darkness that you can see through with your dark vision.
Okay. All right.
It's not dissimilar to where you were before, you immediately notice, but you don't remember going to sleep. You don't remember being knocked unconscious. Everything just seems fuzzy, which is, given where you are and the nature of the forces at work here, is probably not all that surprising, but it is a little bit alarming because you appear to be alone.
Check my head for signs of having been bumped on the back of the head.
Okay.
Assume I don't find that, but maybe I do.
You reach up to check your head, and as you do, you realize that you are, like, covered in a layer of dirt, like someone who is recently buried.
All right.
And then that triggers kind of flicker of a memory of you falling through the ground.
Okay.
It's all just starting to come back to you.
That doesn't make any sense.
So what do you do?
Look around. Am I in a room, in a tunnel, floating in dirt? I don't know.
Yeah, you are you look around and you appear to be in another one of these cavern rooms like the one you just left. It's a small room, but it's that same unworked stone walls. There are protrusions from the ground like stalagmites here and there. And as your eyes start to focus, you look and there is a small fire, a very small, like, kind of contained fire on the ground that is generating a little bit of warmth for you. And there is a figure sitting across from you that you really can't make out. It is the shape of a humanoid, perhaps. Basically just see a big black cloak sitting on the other side of the fire from you.
Excuse me. You mind if I share the fire?
You are awake. Good. I was wondering if you were going to sleep all day. Do you?
Well, you mind if I lighten this place up a little so I can get a look at you?
Just a second before you do that. I don't want to flood your senses. These kind of things can take a little while to adjust. You have fallen a long way, and I just want to first ask you a couple of questions, if I might.
Oh, good. A quiz.
It is for your benefit as much as it is for mine. Can you tell me your name?
Ordrum Flaskmaster.
Good. That came to you right away. That is a good sign. How did you get here?
I fell through dirt. Best of my knowledge, that's how I got.
You know where the place is that you are? Maybe not this room, obviously, but this place in the greater sense.
Well, we were in a extra-dimensional pocket from the Fae Wayne's Hollow. No, I don't know where I am. I'm assuming that I'm still there.
You're in a place known as the Spiral.
Okay, all right.
That sounds familiar?
Yeah, all right. Didn't know I was still there.
Yes, you are, and you were there before, so you haven't just fallen into the place. But you remember how you got into the Spiral?
Walked through some sort of spiral lock? I don't remember exactly, but that's more through my player not remembering than...
Right, so just to remind you were in the Drow Caves. You came in through some kind of, warded gate. You went through it, basically.
I crossed through a warded gate.
Ah, why did you come here?
We're on a quest to help the Knight of Brambles.
Knight of Bramble? Do believe I am familiar, I think. That is a fae.
Yes.
You are in Wainia's Hollow.
Yes, right? Assuming the spiral is still in the hollow. Well,
from what I understand, this particular thing is bound to that place.
All right.
From what I understand, this seems to be a demiplane like others that exist throughout reality. I'm not well versed in these things, but the Feywilds, from what I understand, cross lots of different planes of existence as they wind through the forces of chaos.
Strangely enough, they don't provide maps.
Yes, I do believe if anyone tried to map it, they would go quite insane. Well, I feel you have a sense of who you are. You have not been lost to the Slua. You may cast your light upon me.
All right. Well, actually, I'll cast it upon that stalagmite right there. And it'll shine over the area.
Is it right near him?
Fairly close, yeah.
Fairly close? Okay, yeah. So, yeah, you cast it on that, and all of a sudden, when that stalagmite lights up, he kind of instinctively flinches a little and kind of pulls down as the light, all of a sudden goes bright, and just, that was close. And then you see in front of you a figure that looks not dissimilar to a dwarf in size. They still have their face covered by this cowl. They move their hands up to kind of pull the cloak, keep their eyes out of the light, and you notice right away that his skin is gray. And then as he kind of adjusts to it, he pulls the cloak back, and you see a bald dwarf, long white beard that can only be a Duergar. You've seen some in your time.
Yeah.
You have fought them. Yeah. You never had a conversation with one.
Yeah, my first instinct, just so you know, is to kill you.
I understand. I would hope that you would wait for a moment before you do, so I can explain.
Yeah, don't mind me slipping the shield on, but I haven't grabbed my weapon yet, so I think
Yes, and he holds his hands out, and now that you've seen him for a little while, he's wearing this leather armor with a lot of, pouches and straps on it. Okay. It's, worn, deep brown leather. The cloak is black. He's got all kinds of just stuff on him, like a 90s X-Men. He's covered in pouches and pouches and straps, except these look like they actually serve a purpose other than to, I have no idea that, Cyclops needed a place to store a chapstick or something, but... This is looks a lot more practical. He has also a scimitar that is sheathed at his side. It's actually not even sheathed. It's probably just on the ground in its sheath. Mm-hmm. There are some of us who do not share the same goals as our brethren. There's a long story of my ancestors and how we came to be. But in light of recent events, I understand your inclinations to take up arms against a deep dwarf.
Yeah, the only reason I haven't is I'm wise enough to realize that not all members of a particular cultural group are exactly the same. And you probably had every opportunity to do whatever you're going to do to me and didn't. So.
Yes, you have been quite at my mercy, but I saw no reason to dispatch you, as I would have been more likely to be in that circumstance were you one of my people. And you notice that your weapons are close by. You know, they weren't taken from you, put across the, you know, room.
Yeah.
I see that your vestments, that you are a priest of the forge.
Yes.
So perhaps you'd be a little bit more understanding, philosophical, perhaps. Anyway, my name is Bale Deeptrum, and I am a member of an order of druids, the Druids of the Underdark. He gives you a Duergar kind of sounding name. But that's basically what he is. He's a circle of the Underdark, which is the dark underground places of the world. I came to this place a different way. There are tunnels from our world that cross to here, if you know where to look. They are relatively new, but I believe they have been dug by our people. In your travels, have you encountered such things?
Have you ever heard of a city called Malshar?
Well, everyone, yes. Everyone in...
Well, I don't know.
You live Malshar.
You live deep under the ground. I don't know what you've seen or heard. I try not to assume.
We are a relatively cloistered order, but we do occasionally get news from the above ground, yes.
Beneath Malshar, there are recent diggings of vast, wide tunnels that seem to go on forever. Probably could send an army through.
It is a wonder that that has not happened.
Well, Wayne's Hollow, I'm guessing... Time moves kind of funny, probably more so in the spiral. Maybe it has.
It is possible. This is an extension of the Feywilds in the way, and the Feywilds definitely do not operate at normal time, but I have encountered some unpleasant things in my time here. I've been here not long, but I did not expect to find someone as insane as me.
So in general terms... How do the Duergar and Drow get along?
Oh, well, the Duergar and the Drow do not. The Duergar do not really get along with anyone other than themselves. Huh. They operate in a different way. But my order has had favorable interactions with the Drow. The Drow here in Wenya's Hollow, I have not myself met. Our order has grown in size over the years. It's still relatively small, but we do range all over the underground. Given that most of the tunnels have been created by the Drow, they do know of us. They're very good at keeping secrets. If the greater world were to find out of our existence, it would get back to our brethren. They would have no choice but to find us and destroy us.
Well, one more burden to carry, I guess.
Yes. I have encountered Drow here, though, and I do not think that this is... If these are the Fae touched, then Winyas Hollow is in a lot of trouble.
Well, I think they're in a lot of trouble, period. Seems like their defenses are down and vulnerable to attack and corruption. Things that aren't supposed to normally happen as far as corruption has been happening.
That is a shame. I believe what I have been chasing has reached this place. I feel I will need to tell you a very long story, Ordrum Flaskmaster.
Oh, good. Let me put on some tea. And he'll dispel the light, because, you know, now that he knows what he is, what's the point?
Right. So you start to get up, kind of brush the dirt off of you. He settles in and begins to start to tell you a story. But then, as the story begins, give me a perception roll.
Something I should be good at.
Well, you know.
11.
Okay. Many, many years ago. In the time of the ancients, there was a clan of dwarves who dug deep into the land to the north of the Forge Mountains. Over time, they became obsessed with digging deeper and deeper into the earth. They were being drawn by something, a voice at the back of their heads, instructing them to dig deep and to find the source of this voice.
over time, this clan of dwarves broke off from the rest of the forge and changed. The deeper they got, the more corrupted they became. And these dwarves became the Duergar, my people. We have always heard this voice. It calls to us. But some of us, and then that's when all of a sudden you realize that you are surrounded. First, you will notice that behind Bale, and he will notice the same thing as you do. You notice two figures just kind of come up out of nowhere and stand over Bale with weapons. You get the idea, the way he looks over to you, that he is likely seeing the same thing as he got slightly less than the stealth of those who have ambushed you. So we're going to roll initiative.
Excellent.
Alrighty. Bale is not very dexterous. Oh, wow. Yeah, no. Nope.
All right. So, yeah.
How did you do?
13.
Okay. Because of the way they kind of sprung this ambush, you can get involved in this. They okay. have, by the rules, they have ambushed you, but by right. their own weird tactics, they're not taking advantage of that. It seems like they want you to see them.
Okay.
But then they start coming at you. You'll notice right away that these look to be drow, very similar to the ones you just fought.
Mm.
But there's something odd about them. Like, even odder than the ones you fought. So the first two are going to attempt to attack our friend Bale with their weapons. He's hit once. So yeah, so you see him dodge one of these short swords that these guys are carrying and get struck by another one. So he will take a little bit of damage. And then one will come at you, Razor.
Okay.
Tries to stab you with a short sword. He rolls a 12 and he misses you. And you will notice now that there are three in front of you and three behind you. And it is your turn.
All right. Well, I will move closer to my Duergar friend.
Okay.
And I will cast a spell. Spirit Guardians.
Okay.
And I will designate him as unaffected by it.
Okay. So tell us about Spirit Guardians, because this is the first time we're seeing this in action.
Yeah. Basically, what you'll see, the spirits that he invokes, they look kind of like angelic dwarves with hammers that kind of flit about and, you know, just pound on anybody that gets in too close.
Okay.
That's not one of the allies of the caster. They faintly glow, kind of like a bioluminescence, more so right. than a bright glowing light.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. And so how does this work?
So when you cast the spell, you can designate any number of creatures you can see to be unaffected by it. An affected creature's speed is halved in the area. It's a 15-foot radius, concentration up to 10 minutes. When a creature enters the area for the first time on a turn or starts its turn there, must make a wisdom saving throw. On a failed save, the creature takes 3d8 radiant damage. On a successful save, half damage.
Okay, cool. So everyone is definitely within that area right now because they're all just jumping at you. So it's a wisdom savings throw?
Yeah, it's on the start. I don't know if you want to wait till their turn or how you want to do it.
I'm actually going to their turn right now because there's three that go after you. There was three that go before you. And then somewhere in there is Bale. So, the first one will jump at you and will get a 15 on their wisdom savings throw.
All right, so...
Your spell DC is the same.
Okay, it's 15.
15? Okay, so it does make it.
So I'll take 9 points of damage.
Ouch. Okay, that's very good. Do they still get their...
Oh, they can still move.
They can still do stuff.
They can still do stuff.
They can still do stuff?
These little angelic...
Right. Just as they're doing it.
On them.
Okay.
And they can do it slower. So running away is, 15 feet radius, not that far.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and they're slowed too. So one of these crazy drow just comes down with his little kind of curvy bladed short sword. And that is a 22 against your AC, which I'm pretty sure hits you.
Yeah, that will hit.
And that will do 5 points of piercing damage. But as this drow comes down on you, it is pummeled by a bunch of spiritual dwarves and is looking pretty bad. And this is the same thing's going to happen to the next one who comes at you is going to fail that one. They're kind of coming at you in unison. This is all kind of going on at the same time, but you know, it's combat, so we're doing it in order. So, he will take the full wailing of your spirit guard.
you want me to roll a second time or?
Oh, yeah. I'll have you roll for each one.
Okay. So that would be 11 then.
Okay. That does not drop it outright, but it looks real bad. And yeah, that one will roll a natural one. Okay. So he's very, very close. So I'm going to do this because it's close quarters now and they're all real close. So on a one, he's going to hit one of his fellows.
All right.
So he strikes the one who just hit you instead of you, and that one drops. So it's going very badly for these drow at the moment, but so far. Once again, this is all happening at the same time. And this other drow, as he brings his blade down, he will roll a wisdom save, and that is a pass.
Okay. 8 points of damage.
Okay. All this is going on at the same time. So, you know, as these drow collapse almost into each other, they're being buffeted back by these dwarven ghosts, and one stabs the other one by mistake. This other one comes down and just misses you. And then it is Bale's turn. So Bale, who has been struck by at least one of these drow, is going to become invisible.
Yeah.
So he drops out of sight. So the three drow that were on him, they're, you know, obviously going to see if they can find him. I'll just make some really quick perception rolls for these guys to see if anyone rolls something insane. None of them did. So they're going to be coming at you. But like the last ones, they're all in within the range of the Spirit Guardian. So I will make a wisdom savings throw for all three of these guys.
Okay.
None of them make it.
They all take 13 then.
Okay. That's the magic number.
All right. Awesome.
Okay, so you see Bale still just sitting there where he was, and he just vanishes. And then the three drows just pile over to you, and as they do, they are just bludgeoned to death, you know, just crushed by these spiritual dwarves. And they all hit the ground in a pile. And it will be your go. I am going to make some rolls in the background here.
There are two drow left.
There appear to be two left.
Okay. Well, then I will attack both of them by using a bonus action to take a second attack. And let's see how this goes. 16 hit?
16 does hit, yes.
Okay. And I assume 11 does not.
Their armor class is pretty low, but 11 is... Oh, nope. Not that low.
All right, that's fine. So that one will take 11 points of damage.
Okay. Alrighty. Your hammer comes down, takes a couple swipes at the two that are still standing. One just misses, the other one just crushes this one in the head and falls down. And a quick roll here. How much damage did you do total?
11.
11? Okay. So the room almost clears completely very fast with a flurry of all these spiritual and real warhammers flying around the room. You see there's one still standing right next to you now, and it is still up but very, very hurt. And you see now that you've really been close to them that their wounds are not bleeding regular blood like the other ones. You see an all too familiar yellowish pus coming out. And as that happens, the one you just killed and two of the others struck by the spiritual guardians rise. So the one that just fell from the ground, it doesn't even get up, just looks up at you. And all of a sudden you hear these horrible whispers in your ear and a language you can't understand. And I will need you to make a wisdom saving throw.
All right, that's a 24.
Okay, so these horrible psychic whispers enter your mind. Your mind is strong enough to block the worst of them. You will take 5 points of psychic damage, but you will not be made to take twice as that and then run back as you are struck with dissonant whispers.
Ah.
The other dead one is still dead, and the one who is still alive will look into your eyes as well, and I'll need you to make another saving throw.
This one's 23.
Okay, you are not held by this other cultist as he attempts to hold you. And then the two that rose up from death again, looks like they're going to lurch their way towards you, and all of a sudden the ground just around them shakes and rumbles and trembles as a very, very localized earthquake seems to happen right under them. And they have to make dexterity saving throws. Okay, so one of them falls to the ground and is basically crushed by some of the rocks that have been loosened by this earth tremor. The other one stays on their feet, and then you will see that Bale is on the other side of the room, but he's visible again as he has cast a spell, a earth tremor. Okay, so there's one previously dead one who is going to turn his attention to the newly reappeared Duergar and is just going to haul off and attempt to hit him because their little spells don't seem to do anything. And will miss. But now he is kind of on the other side of the room. It goes to you. There's one formerly dead drow that is on the ground who just tried to cast a spell at you but still seems to be moving around. And then there's one relatively hurt drow that has not already died once that is still in front of you.
I'm going to use a bonus action to take a second attack and let's see how it goes.
Okay.
All right, that's two hits. The one on the ground will take 11 points of damage.
Okay, he is now just bludgeoned into complete... he's not getting up again.
All right, and the other one will take 5 points of damage.
And that is just what it needs to go down.
And to get back up again.
And we'll see. It's actually... won't be a super hard constitution roll, but it could still roll really badly. Nope. Yeah, so the one on the ground, you basically just crush his head right off, essentially.
Yeah.
And the one that you just kind of bopped on the side of the head and knocked to the ground will get up, and he is going to attack you.
He still needs to make...
That's right. That's all still there.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, because that one is right there with you. Okay, so there's no way these things can't just eviscerate him.
The base damage is 10.
He just has to take one.
Okay, all right.
So he gets up and is just annihilated by the spirit guard. And then we go to Bale, who...
Are the only drow that are still left is the one close to Bale?
Yeah, there's one that's on Bale. So basically these
I'll move that direction, hopefully trying to get it within 15-foot radius of me.
Alrighty, well, Bale will do something first. That one will likely die. So Bale reaches down, picks up a rock off of the ground, and then hurls it at the one that's coming at him, and will kill it. And just drops it as this little rock from the ground that looks like it shouldn't really be able to do much, just hurls a like unearthly force at this thing and then goes right through its forehead and out the other side, hits the wall and hits the ground. And the last of these strangely infected drow cultists drop.
Well, that was fun.
Yes.
Were you wounded?
I was, but only by a weapon.
All right.
Not by a bite or a claw. As he's kind of examining the wounds, he notices that you kind of see them too. I take it you are familiar with this corruption.
Yeah, we encountered it in Malshar, and it was unpleasant.
Yes. This is like undeath, but also different.
It's contagious, for one thing. Ain't great, let me tell you.
Yes, a combination of the unchecked power of the Slua cloud and affect the minds of others, along with this aberrant infection. This is a very bad combination. Perhaps that's why it is here. And Bale will tell you his story. This is the story of the Duergar.
Pardon me, I have to restart the tea.
yes, let's get that tea going again. So what he tells you is that centuries ago, these dwarves who had become the Duergar followed a call. And this all starts to become familiar to you. As a matter of fact, this Duergar that you're looking at, the more time you spend with him, the more you realize you've seen his face before. Heard this call in your vision. Yeah. Now, obviously, it couldn't have been the same Duergar, and obviously it wasn't you. Mm-hmm. But in the vision, you were both there, and he tells you how the call, "Dig deep, find me," rings out in the minds of all Duergar, all of the time. And basically, most of the Duergar spend all their time digging, and obviously the stronger of them forged their empire, but they worshipped this thing that they referred to as the God with no shape. They ascribe all kinds of power to it, but none of them had ever seen it. None that ever actually encountered it. It only existed at this voice in their heads. It corrupted them. It gave them power, but they gave their lives basically to reach it. but there were some Duergar over the last century or so who experienced that voice differently. Instead of a compulsion, it was more like an irritant. Mm-hmm. And so it had the exact opposite effect that the voice did on the rest of the Duergar. As you put, instead of drawing it to them, it drew them away. So they had to get as far away from the Black Forge as possible, because this maddening voice in their head, it was like a migraine. And these Duergar eventually formed this Circle of Underdark Druids. The Circle of Underdark Druids was actually a creation of Rick's in our world building, because I created the Duergar, and he's just like, hey, how about that? There's some kind of good Duergar druids. And I have been holding on to that for this whole time, because sooner or later, you're going to run into these guys and they'd be pretty important. So yeah. A little behind the curtain there. They have been spending their time basically, you know, helping to keep the Underdark safe, but there's only so many of them. I've had a vision very recently, and I think I saw you, but you are one of us.
Yeah, I was in some sort of vision like that, too.
Didn't
make me real pleased. No offense.
No, believe me. Just being there and hearing the voice and being compelled to follow it, it goes against everything that I believe. Though that vision was a fantasy, I believe that what happened has happened. I believe that the Slua showed us something. It showed us that the god without shape has been released. And its influence is spreading. I believe this infection is part of it. I believe that Duergar withdrew back into the Black Forge at the behest of this god. They have drawn away from the affairs of the above ground, but I believe that they will not be gone for long. I've seen signs of this throughout. My people have been digging tunnels in other places all over. I believe it's to spread this contagion. I believe the fact that we were shown this vision by the Slua is a sign that something of the Slua still remains, and that is telling us what has happened, perhaps to spur us into helping release it. I believe it has been affected by this.
Well, that's something out of character. It was something we were planning on doing anyways, right? Releasing the Slua, that was our mission.
Yes, no, your thing is to, like, you know, if you have to destroy it, the idea was, it's known that it's been corrupted by something,
right?
And you're going to need to face it. If you can release it from the corruption, if not, you'd have to destroy it. But it seems like this is the first sign that
it can be saved.
The Slua could be saved, and that the Slua is being affected.
Well, saving the Slua is top priority. But if we can't do that, then the next thing to do is defeat it. But yes, with this, that brings hope.
Yes. The Winya are a very powerful force for good in this world. And though I confess I know little about it, I have not dared to enter this place, even through the drow tunnels, because I feel that perhaps my being would not be accepted here. But I don't know. You would know, based on what you've been able to glean from this, Rick, is that the Slua here generally exists to filter out intention.
Mm-hmm.
So even if he was of the cursed blood of the Duergar, if he didn't have ill intention, he'd probably be okay. Just based on under normal circumstances. Right now, anyone can come in here. So, you know, nothing's stopping you from coming in. But even at its full strength, it's likely if these druids are aligned with the forces of good, then, you know, it's all likelihood they would be allowed to pass through as long as their intentions were good.
Well, as I understand it, normally you'd be allowed in, assuming you're what you say you are and of good intent. Right now, don't worry about it. Door's wide open.
Oh, that's probably not good.
No, it's not.
Well, I will be very careful. My accent is going all over the place. I had this really cool Werner Herzog thing going on early on. It has all just been shot to hell. Yes. Oh, let me get back. I want to see the baby. There we go. That's all you have to say. Well, I was able to tunnel into this place. Perhaps we can find a way to get to your friends.
That would be ideal. We're more powerful together than separately.
Well, if you feel up to it, let us begin.
Sure. Got a pick or something?
Oh, it will take some time. I don't need a pick. So he just reaches out, and with his druidic magic, he starts very slowly, but over time, he is able to basically just mold the stone away, and you start to kind of pass through. So using a combination of his earthquakey powers and his earth molding powers, and his, you can thunder wave stuff out of the way, you can mold stone, you can do earth tremors at points where the ground is relatively weak. It takes some time, but you just start tunneling through this pure rock of this area, and eventually he gets to a point and he says, it's been like the better part of a day been at this, and Bale just kind of hits a point and then just stops and then looks and, do you hear that? Give me a perception roll.
18.
Okay. So with an 18, you will get a sense of this. So even before you were even with your passive perception, you do hear noise like this crashing and blasts and all kinds of stuff. And then kind of sharpen your ear, you will hear the sound of fighting. There's magic being thrown. There's arrows being hurled and swords being swung and voices that sound not dissimilar to your friends from just beyond a point in this wall. And at that point, very tired looking Bale looks over to you and says, do you know what this is?
Yeah, I think my friends are fighting. Very close spot.
I guess this is not a good time to take a rest. And then the first thing he does is he pushes out a thunder wave into the wall, and that breaks free a weird little like kind of pseudo fault line in the area, and he spends the next couple minutes just blasting, and just before he takes the last one, you listen for a second, you don't hear anything. You hear maybe hushed voices, but the fighting seems to have stopped, but you're not really sure what's going on, if they've prevailed, if they're all dead, you're not sure. And then eventually he just pushes out one more mold earth and clears away a section of the dirt, and the whole area just kind of falls away, and you are just standing there with Bale at your side, and you see a room, your friends, you see that they are all kind of gathered around this doorway. It's a giant spiral door that is coated with a thick sheen of this whitish yellowish pus forming like a shield around it. And you all just kind of stand there and look at it at the same time. And that is where we'll pick up in the next episode as you are all reunited.
Excellent. I don't see how this could go wrong. A big pus flavored lollipop in the shape of a door.
Yeah. Basically, it looks like what could be the final gate to the center of the spiral is blocked by this gross goo provided by the god without shape. So you got kind of a name of the bad guy now. So yeah, that's something.
Something.
All right. So with that knowledge in hand, between you, some Duergar, some witches, and maybe even a bunch of sprites, the final battle, this might be a very interesting thing. But until then, we will leave you, gentle listeners, to ponder these events in 2 weeks when we reach the thrilling conclusion of our Wenya's Hollow arc. Probably. Unless, who knows? But probably.
Probably.
See you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And once again, we would love to thank our Apprentice Architect Patreons, Jillian and John Christensen, Suzanne Bell, and Caitlin Thompson. We could not do this without you. You can join our Patreon at patreon.com/AOE podcast. Have fun. We'll see you next time.